Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
And welcome to episode 280 of Geek Town Radio. I am back this week with...
Kitty, kitty, kitty.
Bex, how are you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. It's been a while.
It has, although I can't really tell anymore because I have no sense of time. Somebody pointed out on Twitter this morning that it's been a year since I went to the Hatsune Miku concert, and I was just like, are you sure? I thought that was a couple of months.
Yeah, the last 12 months seems to have gone incredibly fast, but also very, very slowly. It's very odd.
Yes, it's like a really, really under budget version of Groundhog Day in my house.
Yeah, believe me, I know the feeling. But you got quite busy before Christmas. You were doing quite a lot of stuff. So what have you been up to? Because you haven't been on for a few months.
Yeah, I decided in all of my great wisdom to take on far too many things. And that including me deciding that I wanted to do a big charity drive over Christmas and New Year. So I did a whole bunch of charity fundraising streams, including 10 hours on Christmas Day, where I filmed in my kitchen. So I carried all the computer equipment and the lights and the camera and everything into the kitchen and cooked Christmas dinner with everyone. didn't blow the kitchen up. Came close, I think.
Yes.
I think I came close to setting the kitchen on fire. Did manage to chop part of my fingernail off trying to peel vegetables and things. And apparently this was of great amusement to people. And then carried all the equipment back to the normal room it's in and had a party for the end of Christmas Day, which was awesome because we raised £2,000 for Samaritans. And
awesome.
Then also did some retro game streams raising money for other charities, including another mental health charity called Safe in Our World. And yeah, that's kept me fairly busy. Plus, I've been branching out more and more and more into doing sort of improv character acting stuff on the stream. So that's been good.
I've caught some of those. Yes.
Pushed myself out of my comfort zone a bit. I've done improv courses before, but I've never done anything like that in front of an audience before. And it's been really fun how everyone's just kind of jumped on board and been really, really awesome with just saying like, yeah, this is fun. We'll jump on that, and inventing new characters and just messing around really, and making the stream even more of a place for people to just have a little bit of an escape and feel like a part of a community. And the next one that we're going to do for that sort of came about by accident, because there's a thing I do, which I enjoy doing. But you know how you have those things you do and you think, you know, you're amusing yourself and no one else cares.
Yes.
And one of the things I do is misinterpret song lyrics and adverts and music videos in my head. And I started doing that just to explain some song lyrics for some songs, not songs I dislike, songs that are just horrifically written that I do like. Mm. And I decided to utilize my film studies and English literature degree level education to wrongly analyze deep, beautiful meanings in terribly written songs. including how a song by Crazy Town, who I like as a band.
Yes.
But, that they're not deep and meaningful songs.
No.
And he has a song that is the worst humble brag in the world. It's called Revolving Door, about how his life's so sad because millions of women will sleep with him, but he hasn't found true love and he's just got loads of money. And includes lines I won't repeat that are definitely not humble. And I misinterpreted it into a very soulful ballad about how he just really likes playing League of Legends.
right.
And how he's got no friends because the architects wrongly installed a revolving door so no one could get into his house.
Right. And okay.
People liked it, so we're making a new scene for that. All the photoshopping I do, making a new scene where I'm going to be a university lecturer and I'm going to explaining the deep meanings of these things in the way my university lecturers explained about poetry that I thought was also sometimes fairly badly written when I was back in uni. So we're just doing stuff like that. And yeah, also been playing quite a lot of Chrono Trigger. First playthrough of Chrono Trigger.
Ooh.
Which is classic. I've let chat name the characters though, so I'm currently level 13 idiot.
Well, yes, that will happen if you let your chat name your characters.
Yeah. So the robot's called Crichton. The frog's called Kermit.
Of course.
The princess is called Marta, after one of the lovely people from Sega that I've streamed with.
Right.
And the tech expert's called Velma. But naming the character idiot was just a stroke of genius, because everywhere you go, there's just these characters yelling, idiot, save the princess. Idiot, where are you going? Idiot, is this sword helpful? And you're like, and my house says idiot's house above it, and I'm just like, yeah, this is just my life. This is far too close to home now.
Oh dear.
That's been keeping me busy quite well. Other than that, I am being masochistic and watching the final series of Sabrina, because apparently I hate myself and I need to know what happens.
You put yourself through the rest of it, so yes, you should just watch the final season, I think. It's only fair.
It's so preposterous. it's so silly, but I think it is quite aware of that by this point. So yeah. I think, you know, it's gone the way of Gotham, which is just, we're writing a series. Oh, no, we're not. Nah, just roll with it.
Yeah.
So
Gotham did that so well.
And I've started Alice in Borderland as well.
Oh, okay.
Which is very, very good. Japanese series where a few characters suddenly find themselves, they think to be the only people left in Tokyo, then discover that actually they are caught in some kind of pocket dimension where you have to play games in order to be allowed more hours to live.
Oh, interesting.
Very, very interesting.
Sounding rather Black Mirror, that. That sounds like quite good. Where are you watching that?
That one's on Netflix. So okay. I've been watching that. I've also been watching a bit more of Discovery, catching up on that one, and still 50-50 on if I even like it or not. I love some of the characters, just not the main character, which is making it a little bit difficult at times to watch, but still enjoying it overall. Just every now and again, just kind of feel a little bit exasperated with it.
Right. I've been enjoying the third season. I really, really enjoyed. I think the whole time jump thing worked really well, and where they've taken it this season, I just think it's been getting better and better. It's interesting because I won't go into spoilers because you've probably not got to the end of it yet, but the last episode does almost leave it in a place where you could kind of walk away from it. I think it has actually got another season coming. I think they've already confirmed, but it does get to a point where, if that was like a series finale, it would have actually worked, I think. They left it in quite an interesting place. Yeah, it is coming back for a full season because I've already started production on it.
I will watch the fourth season as well. I think every now and again I just get a little bit frustrated because I feel like they have worked on making the characters a little bit more balanced and a little bit more likable and a little bit less two-dimensional, which was one of my criticisms of some parts of the first series. And there are some characters I absolutely adore and am really enjoying seeing. And parts of the world as well, with the time jump, I feel like I think this part of the world they're exploring is now much more interesting because they're not beholden to anything else in canon. They could just do what they like because it's a branch off future timeline. So I think that was a really good choice there. I just felt every now and again that Michael kind of steals the scene, and not in a way that works. You know, someone else, I won't say who, but like some other characters having their moment and everyone's congratulating them, and then Michael walks in and goes, oh, did I miss everything, and makes a speech, and then everyone are like clapping her, and it's like, but this was someone else's moment. He just tried to write this scene to make, and that's the kind of thing that frustrates me. But I am still enjoying it. I am still watching it, and I will still watch the next series as well. But they are definitely, I think at times still kind of finding that balance. And I think the show would work better if they dropped the primary character aspect and made it more of an ensemble cast.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. There are points where Michael shows up and they seem to overly focus on that. So I sort of see what you're saying. I think they do a reasonable job with the ensemble. It doesn't bother me as much as it sounds like it bothers you. There are a few characters.
I think I just prefer it was more ensemble and they dropped the idea of a primary character, because the other characters are equally, and some of them for me, more interesting.
Yeah.
So I think just the fact that, you know, it always has to be that character in it. It's sort of in every scene, has to be the center of every scene, which I think is much more than they would normally do. Like, you look at the other Star Trek series, is, you know, they maybe their captain was the primary driver of everything, but they weren't necessarily in every scene or the focus of every single episode. And I think that was easier perhaps with the episodic format that they had before, was that you could have episodes that were about secondary characters or other members of the bridge, where the captain really wasn't as central. And because this one is following just one set plot line, they have to then write said plot line around primary character in order to involve them enough. And I feel that it's tied their hands a little bit with allowing us to actually enjoy seeing the rest of the cast as much as we could otherwise. Like, it's not enough to stop me watching it. It's just one of those things that's just a little background niggle when I'm watching it.
Fair enough. I mean, I'm okay with how they've balanced it. Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying about Michael coming in to sort of save the day every time and kind of slightly elbowing her way into the
situation. Making a big speech about it, I think, is the...
Yeah.
I've never been a fan of those speeches. You could kind of get away with it when it was Jean-Luc Picard or someone, but I still always found those a bit annoying in all the series, to be fair.
Yeah, I do wonder whether the fourth season is going to turn a little bit more episodic, whether we are going to get a bit more of that. I mean, we've got Strange New Worlds coming, which is, by the sounds of it, is going to be much more in your traditional Trek vein of each week going to a different planet and episodic TV. I do wonder whether Discovery's with where they left it, which obviously I'm not going to sort of go into that for people that are still a little bit behind, but where they left it, it does feel like you are maybe setting on a slightly different path, and whether it's going to end up being more of an episodic thing moving forward. We'll have to see what they do for the full season. But
Have we had any more news on what's happening with the potential Philippa spin-off?
No, although we do sort of know how it's happening, I guess. I don't think they've actually talked about filming it yet. I think they have confirmed it is supposed to be happening. So it is coming, but there's no news on them actually.
That's a show I definitely want to watch.
Yeah, there's no news on them actually filming it yet. Yeah, she's great. Philippa Georgiou is a fantastic, or Emperor Georgiou, as this version of the character is. But that's going to be really good. And I think it is, they have confirmed it's going moving forward, but they haven't announced anything specific about it yet. So anything else? Any other stuff you've been watching?
I watched a series called Pretty Little Things.
Yes.
Which is a Netflix kind of murder mystery series about ballet dancers.
Yes, I heard some things about this. I didn't watch it. It wasn't really my sort of, it didn't go massively appeal
to me. I was kind of hoping, because I really, it sounds like a strange comparison, but I really enjoyed The Queen's Gambit.
Right, yeah.
I thought that was beautiful, wonderfully shot, very interesting, really well acted. And I enjoyed, like, I watched that in about like 3 days or something ridiculous. Like, I just blasted through it. And I kind of saw a bit of the trailer for this show and thought, oh, is this going to be something that's kind of got a, you know, someone has been pushed off the top of a roof, so it's got a kind of mystery slant and a who did it slant, but based around the world of ballet. And it looked like it had some very nice shots and looked like it was going for perhaps the same area. And I was wrong. So it's not a limited series. It's something that's going to just keep going, and they've left it on a slight cliffhanger, and they've got no second season confirmed. It gets very repetitive.
Right.
And very ridiculous. And I got to the point where I was fast forwarding through bits of it.
Oh dear, that's not good.
To get to the end. Because every single couple, and because they're all teenagers living in a dorm, every couple is like, you know, changes every week and changes constantly. They've all dated at least 5 other people in the show, you know, this kind of thing. Every single couple gets long drawn out scenes of the just lying, sort of semi-clad, talking and things. And to an amount where I was like, this isn't contributing to the plot at all. This is just right, looking at pretty people. But then several plot points, in fact, I think about 4 plot points, revolve around the fact that these people are supposed to be under 18.
Right. Okay. That's slightly worrying.
Are you just trying to make us feel awkward. I don't understand why you keep showing me these long lingering shots. So it ended up being like the ballet side and some of the intrigue and the backstabbing and how difficult it is and the idea that people might betray their own friends to sabotage their auditions for a role because getting the role or not could mean the rest of your career or not, or your family allowing you to carry on or not because of the pressures that are on them. And they obviously did quite a lot of research into ballet and what it's like to grow up in that environment, showing them like putting super glue on their feet or taking painkillers they've stolen so they don't miss class. And, you know, they put thought and effort into showing those kind of things. But then it sort of just turned into teenage 500 character version of revenge.
Right. Okay.
And everyone is possibly the person that pushed the person off the roof. And it just got very, very silly. And I thought it was a limited series. I should have done more research and thought, right, I'm at the last episode. I'm going to find out who pushed the person off the roof and then it's going to be done. And I'm just going to know what that was. And then they ended it on very, very, very much ridiculous, obvious melodramatic sequel bait. And I was just like, oh no, has this even got a second series?
It sounds like it's called Tiny Pretty Things, is there?
Tiny Pretty Things, that's the one.
And it's pretty much got across the board reviews of like 50%, so
which is about the percentage of the show that's good, so that's fair. It really could have been something, but characters will literally think someone is a murderer, then realize they're not, then be dating them in the next episode. Ooh. Then that person's dating someone else in the episode after. You know, people fall in love within two episodes, and I know they're teenagers, but this is it's just very silly, and I enjoyed bits of it, but it got very silly. The ballet dancing was nice. I guess it's got that in its favour. The costuming's pretty good. And I don't put this down to the actors. They were definitely doing their best with what they were given. But it's very difficult to take somebody as sincerely being in love when they were literally in love with someone who's in a coma for half the series. And then they've been in love with like three other people in the series by the end.
Oh, dear.
And you're like, okay, yes. I remember being a teenager, and unless there's some timeline issue and this show's actually supposed to be taking place over the course of like a year and I've missed it and it appears to just be taking over the course of a week, it just got very silly, which I think was a shame because there was potential in there, I think, for it to be something that was really good.
That's a shame. I don't know what its numbers were like, but given the reviews it's got, I wouldn't hold my breath for a second season of that coming.
This is what happens when I watch things that don't have spaceships in.
Yeah. You see,
I was let down. There were no spaceships.
Yeah, well, ballet in space, I'm sure there's an opening for that sort of show.
I like ballet. The world of dance is interesting. I also don't believe for a second in one of the most expensive private prestigious ballet schools in the entirety of America that after a lass is pushed off the roof, they'd all still be allowed to hang out on the roof.
Yeah, like, you'd
these
think.
Kids are constantly on this roof that's got no safety barriers, drunk, dancing around on the wall that the girl was pushed off of some of the time. And you're like, this just, that's a crime scene.
Yeah.
Somebody was pushed off. Like, you just wouldn't be allowing these teenagers to run around on the roof. It's very, very, very bizarre series. They literally jump around and dance around on the roof like it's, you know, turning into Mary Poppins at one point. And you're someone else would be off the roof. At this point, I'm starting to wonder if anyone pushed her or if they're just all idiots.
They were just drunk and one of them fell. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Not one to recommend then. By the sounds of it.
I still haven't had time to sit down and watch The Boys season 2. What am I doing to myself here?
Yes, there are much better things. You see, you need to come to me and say, what do you recommend I watch?
Yeah. Well, I to be fair, with the whole little pretty, whatever it's called.
Yes.
The ballet one.
Tiny
it was
pretty
kind
things.
Of as background telly.
Right. Yes.
I kind of want to sit down and watch The Boys properly when I've got more free time.
Yeah.
But I do kind of feel like I've lost 10 episodes of my life.
Yeah, it's disappointing when that happens. I mean, I still haven't got around to watching The Queen's Gambit yet. And it's
the
like...
The Queen's Gambit is worth watching and has an actual proper ending.
Yes.
It is a little bit... I mean, it's not realistic in any way, shape or form. Nothing in that series would actually have occurred in real life. It just, the world just doesn't work that way. But it's really lovely. And the filming, the use of colour, the costuming, oh God, it's beautiful. Beautiful and well acted.
Yeah.
So it's not without its flaws. So there's some obvious flaws in the writing. There's some obvious, like, they're not going for realism in what could actually be achieved at the time for a young orphan woman wanting to enter into the world of professional chess. Like, it just wouldn't go that way. But it is still really lovely and entertaining, sort of semi-fantasy version of the past, and just lovely to watch it. Every shot's beautiful. I do recommend that one, just not Ballet Series. I literally swore at the end of the Queen's Gambit, I was like, that was really nice and slightly fairy tale and kind of weird and beautifully shot. And at the end of the one about ballet, I literally saw it was a cliffhanger and swore.
Yeah, I do need to go and watch The Queen's Gambit. I don't know, for some reason it's not massively appealed to me, but everybody says it's great, and it's also the largest TV show in the world, according to Netflix. It's been watched something like 60 million households have apparently watched that series. Yeah. So I feel I should.
I've watched it, and I'm recommending it, and it's got no spaceships in.
Yes, definitely. That's a proper recommendation. So in terms of stuff I've been doing, Cyberpunk 2077, I completed. I think I mentioned a bit last week when we were doing the Geektown Awards stuff, because I've got it on PC, so I've not had any of the problems. You know, I've had the odd crash, but nowhere near the amount of problems that other people seem to have had. So post that, I've gone back and been playing a bit more Crusader Kings, which is one of these. You start off basically as a Viking, or you can start off as a Viking, and if you can start off as a Viking, why wouldn't you start off as a Viking? I tend to start off in the UK, and the idea is that you know, it's sort of 1800 and something. So you're controlling some of the islands off Scotland, and then you've got to try and take over the world. Essentially, it's one of those strategy games. You can basically play as any leader in the world at sort of that time, and you can start either at 836 or 1066. So you can do the sort of William the Conqueror thing if you want to do that. It's a big strategy game, and what's unique about it is, unlike the Civ games where you have Queen Elizabeth, who is immortal, and you play her forever. With this, you have dynasties. So raising your children the right way is quite important, because what skills you give them leads to how effective they might be as a ruler moving down the line. And when your original player dies, you take over as whoever is the heir to your throne. So,
sorry, I don't understand.
Don't teach Alexa to take over the world. No. Sorry, I don't understand. Could you please repeat that? How do I take over people and take over the world?
Yeah, I'm rather glad you don't understand that.
Yet.
Yeah, yet. So it's quite important what you teach your heir, because there are various skill sets in, you know, you can focus on whether you're good at diplomacy or whether you're good at intrigue, and you can level up your heir before they kind of take over. That dictates what sort of ruler they're going to be. And the idea is you start off in 836 and then you can play through until like 1400 and something, I think it is. So it's quite good fun just sort of seeing how much of the map you can take over, and you get these kind of nice little story arcs of what happens to your character and who backstabs who and that sort of thing. And so that's been quite good fun. And the other thing I've gone back to playing around with was Oxygen Not Included, which is a base building game. It's got kind of quite a nice quirky art style. It's sort of flat side-scrolling base building game where you play a bunch of these little kind of astronaut characters that are dumped on this asteroid, and they have to build out a base to survive and eventually try and build a spaceship to take off and get to back home or other planets. They've added an expansion in which moves a lot of the space stuff a bit earlier in the timeline, because that was always the end game thing. And the idea is now they've moved it forward, so you can play around with the space building stuff earlier on and use the rockets to get to other asteroids and mine those as well, so you can go and get resources from those. So it sort of, it opens it up a bit more, because it always took a Herculean amount of effort to get to the point where you were building rockets, and it was always an interesting mechanic, but a lot of people never got there because they kind of got sick of it and it was so difficult to do they gave up before then. So what they've now done is added in an expansion which moves a lot of the rocket building stuff further up to the start, but the places that you start are smaller, so they're smaller asteroids. And the idea is now you build rockets to get to other asteroids to get other bits of resources and bring them back to help you build a sort of bigger and better rockets. That's been really fun kind of getting back into that, because it's been a while since I've played around in that game. So that would be quite fun one, I think, probably for you to stream, I would have thought. I imagine that works quite well as a streaming thing.
Have you seen me play Two Point Hospital?
I haven't.
I turned my hospitals into basically arcades, and when people were ill, I just gave them more Outrun machines. I also was dressed as a doctor with a suit, and I forgot the stethoscope was real, and I tapped it. It wasn't good. I'm not sure I should be given control of anything with the potential for space travel based on that.
Well, yes, possibly not. I'm sure it's quite a fun one to stream, that. I haven't actually looked up any streams of that, but it strikes me as something that will work very well. TV-wise, Star Trek Discovery, the finale of that, as we talked about earlier, I really enjoyed the finale of that. Staged, season two of that is now all out on iPlayer as well, and I loved the second season. It all gets very meta, because the second season opens with them being interviewed about the first season. It's Ramesh Ranganathan doing like a lockdown interview with David and Michael, and it's them being interviewed about the first season of Staged. And then the second season is based around the idea that there is an American remake of Staged, and they want all the cast back apart from Michael and David, because they're not big enough names in the US and they want bigger names to play the leading roles. So that's the sort of basis for it. So it all gets very meta. It's hilariously funny again. It's really, really enjoyable. There's some wonderful cameos from people in there. I just think it's fantastic. They're such good fun, those shows. Whether they'll do another one, I don't know. I think it would be difficult to kind of continuously do it. You might be able to squeeze one more in, possibly, but I think as we're getting to the point of the vaccinations and that sort of stuff now, whether they've managed to get another one out in time, I don't know. But the second season of it was fantastic. I don't know whether you've caught any of these.
No, I haven't. I'm so behind on telly and clearly have spent my time watching the wrong thing.
Stage season one and season two. Season one's definitely on Netflix. It's also on iPlayer. The Netflix versions are slightly longer, I think. They've got some additional scenes in off season one. And season two is entirely on iPlayer. But they're not that long, those episodes. They're like 15, 20 minutes. I watched the entire second season in an evening because there's six episodes and I just binged my way through it. So I would heartily recommend go and look those up, because they are hilariously funny. If you've not seen any of Staged, that is definitely something you should be watching, because it's very much, I think, up your street. They are very, very, very funny. The other thing that I watched on Netflix was Nicolas Cage's History of Swear Words, which they announced just before Christmas was coming. Yeah. And it was like as if this year couldn't get any more ridiculous. It actually is quite good fun. And it takes a bunch of different common swear words and actually has people that have done research into these words and the etymology of them, where they come from and their uses, how their usage has changed over time and all that sort of stuff. It is actually not a serious show, but it has got some relatively good actual content in there. And it's just Nicolas Cage that's sort of doing the presenting to camera bit and tying it all together. And he's perfectly good at that. I mean, he's Nicolas Cage just being Nicolas Cage pretty much. So I found it quite interesting. There's only six episodes in the first season. I don't know whether they're doing any more, but there's only six episodes in this. I actually would recommend it. I thought it was quite interesting.
It's definitely one that's on the list of things I should have watched, because it just looks like a good fun little diversion.
Absolutely it is. Again, they're only fairly short episodes. They're about 20 minutes long. There is actually some interesting information in there about the sort of history of these various different swear words. So I would heartily recommend that. If you're not a fan of Nicolas Cage, he is only doing little bits and pieces in between. They have got people who genuinely have researched swear words and, you know, people that are responsible for putting descriptions of swear words in dictionaries and that sort of thing. So they have got some serious proper minds that know what they're talking about in there, a mixed amongst the sort of comedians and that sort of stuff that they've used. It definitely is worth watching if you haven't gone and seen that. And that's on Netflix right now. A couple of other things I want to mention. MCM have announced dates for MCM London and MCM Birmingham. So MCM London is returning on the 22nd to 24th of October. MCM Birmingham is returning the 13th and 14th of November. I mean, obviously plans may change, but I think they're probably far enough out to be able to say with a certain amount of confidence that if they are allowed to go ahead, they will go ahead. I hope that the virus is under control enough by that point that they are allowed to go ahead. But I think that's a sensible prediction. I don't think they would have been able to do the sort of May, June ones. I don't think we would have been in a position to do those. But at least they've got dates in for October and November. I'm assuming you will be heading to these if you can.
Yes, hopefully. It will be absolutely amazing to be back at events. Hopefully they will want me to do something there. I would love to be working back at MCM again. So we shall see what happens. I think it was a sensible choice to go for October, November, and to just not even think of making the months around May. I think this gives much more likelihood that things can go ahead. So it gives us all something to look forward to near the end of the year.
Yeah, they have got virtual, you know, the metaverse thing that they set up. They have got virtual events coming in spring and summer as well. So there are going to be doing virtual events as well as these beforehand. So there will be some sort of MCM read pop stuff coming out before then. And I'm sure there will be other virtual events throughout the year as well. But actually, in-person events, I have been missing them quite a lot. I'd be very happy to hopefully be able to go to London in October and Birmingham in November and be able to go and meet up with people finally at MCM. And hopefully this stupid pandemic thing has disappeared to a large enough extent by that point that it'll make it possible. But we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, that's London 22nd to 24th of October and Birmingham 13th and 14th of November are the dates to put in your diaries right now. As I say, things can move, but that is what they've got right now. That's all the stuff we've been doing for the last few weeks. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So TV and film news this week, we start off with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. No cancellations as such, but we've got one that's sort of cancelled before it's even started. The Green Arrow and the Canaries spin-off series that was done as a backdoor pilot. So if you watched the last season of Arrow, you would have seen the pilot for this. CW have opted not to move forward with that. So that is not happening. I think that's a little bit of a shame, but I think we kind of knew that that was probably coming because they hadn't said anything about it up until this point. And Catherine McNamara, who plays the lead Green Arrow character, is it Mia, the daughter? She had already gone off to do another show. So I think we kind of knew this was coming, but that's not going to be moving forward. So we'll see whether any of the characters pop up anywhere else in the Arrowverse. But for the moment, that isn't happening. You're way behind on Arrowverse things, as you remember.
Yeah, I sort of fell out of love with a lot of the Arrowverse stuff a little while ago. I really, really loved it to start with. But it just sort of goes on. It's like a child drawing a kind of mountain range, I find. I would really enjoy it, and then I'd be kind of like, what is this? And I'm like, no, I'm really enjoying it again. And I kind of went like that with the series after a while. And they can always revisit this idea for doing a spin-off later if they want. There's nothing to say that they couldn't revisit this idea at another point of time if they wanted to. But I think that Green Arrow in general just seemed to not be anyone's favourite of the CW series.
I don't know. I mean, I think there was a lot of love for certainly some of the Canaries.
Yeah, that's true.
I think there was some love for those characters out there, but they've got various different timelines running at the moment, and it wouldn't be impossible for them to bring them back. They have got a number of the Arrowverse shows finishing, of course, this year. I mean, Black Lightning is ending, Supergirl is ending. They have got the Superman series starting, of course, and they've got the other sort of tangentially connected things like like the Green Lantern series is coming for HBO Max, which isn't technically directly an Arrowverse series, but they are sort of connected in the same way that all DC stuff now is in this multiverse. So it's going to be interesting to see how the DC stuff stacks up against the MCU now that they're all doing TV shows.
Yeah, they are on different platforms though. So in some ways it's less direct competition because you'll watch the one that's on the platform you've got, I think. And there are so many different services over in America. And even now we've got quite a few here and people just can't afford to buy all of them. So unless a show is good enough that it will make you pay for a subscription, you're just going to watch the ones that are on the subscription you've already got, I think.
Yeah, I mean, of course, a lot of the Arrowverse stuff is on the CW, but then it's all on HBO Max as well. Whereas, you know, the MCU stuff, like you say, is all on Disney Plus. It is going to be interesting to see even the quality difference between the two and whether that forces them to up their game maybe a little bit on the Arrowverse, because they've kind of had that superhero territory to themselves for quite a while.
Yeah, we had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but there wasn't really a huge amount of other things in direct competition. And obviously Disney spotted that and said, hold my beer. And are now making a wide variety of things, a lot of which that do look really, really good.
Yes, yeah. And we have WandaVision coming very, very, very soon. So that will be the first thing to kick off the MCU. The other CW show, which was the 100 prequel, that is apparently still in contention. We still haven't had the final season of the 100 over here, but the spin-off series, which aired again as a backdoor pilot, which is set 97 years before the events of the original series and begins with the end as the nuclear apocalypse starts to decimate the population of Earth. And rather than following the group off into space, which I know is exactly what you wanted to follow, it of course stays on the ground and follows the people that stayed around on the ground. So it kind of seems to be the birth of the grounders more than anything else, and how they kind of reorganize society there, which I know is not the bit that you wanted to see at all.
That's the post-apocalyptic plot line. I wanted the sci-fi plot line.
Yes, yeah, I would have quite liked that too. But that is...
Maybe they'll do that one next.
Yeah, maybe they will. So that apparently, that prequel series is still in contention, so that's not dead yet. But the Green Arrow and Canary series is not happening. In terms of renewals, Death in Paradise has been renewed for two more seasons. So the 10th season is now airing on BBC, and they've announced they're going to have two more seasons after that. So that will take it up to season 12. His Dark Materials renewed for a third and final season by the BBC and HBO. They announced a while back just before Christmas. So that will be returning. And I think there are three books, so that sort of makes sense. Also announced just before Christmas, which we have no chance to talk about on here, the Book of Boba Fett series coming to Disney Plus in Christmas 2021. That is a separate series to the Mandalorian Series 3, which will be airing straight after it. So that means Christmas-ish or December-ish 2021, you're going to get the Book of Boba Fett. And then the next show directly after that will be the Mandalorian Season 3, which will either be very early 2022 or very late 2021. We don't know. So we are getting a Boba Fett series, which you'll be, I'm sure you'll be quite happy to see.
I'm sure everybody will be quite happy about that. I still haven't seen The Mandalorian. I'm just waiting to get a Disney Plus subscription until The Obvious is released.
Well, if you're going to get a Disney Plus subscription, I would say get it now, because if you wait until after February, the prices are going to go up. So you're better off getting it now because of all the extra stuff that's about to drop onto Disney Plus. Now is a very good time to go and buy one, I would say. If you're going to get one, go and buy it for the year.
Top tip.
Yes. Also mentioned today, the actor that plays Homeland, Anthony Starr, has announced that The Boys Season 3 will start filming within a month or so. So it's been quite interesting because of the pandemic. A lot of shows which would usually be waiting a while before they get their next seasons, they're all starting to get back to filming fairly early, like Discovery is filming its next season pretty much straight away. They're all trying to get started as soon as they possibly can because they know there is potential for shutdowns and delays. So to make sure that they hit their next deadline, they're all trying to make sure that they all record everything early. So they are starting filming within the next month or so on The Boys Season 3, which is great news. In terms of pickups, Roku, the people that make the set-top boxes but also have the Roku channel, they have picked up all the content from Quibi, the failed streaming service, which failed basically because when you launch a streaming service which is designed for people out and about it in the middle of a global pandemic when everybody's locked indoors. Strangely enough, it doesn't work particularly well. So Quibi, who got shut down a few months ago, a lot of the content that was on there was really, really good.
Wasn't that the one where it only worked on mobile?
Yeah, they did eventually allow you to stream it to TV, but it took a couple of months after the launch, and it only was around for 7 months, and it was about 2 months into the launch before you could actually stream it onto a TV. Originally, you could only watch the shows on mobile, which put a lot of people off, I think. Quibi was the thing where you had these little 10-minute episodes, and in a lot of cases, things like they made a version of The Fugitive with Kiefer Sutherland playing the FBI marshal, and it's essentially, it's a movie but chopped up into 10-minute segments. So the quality of the content was really good, and they got nominated for a bunch of Emmys and stuff, but when the service shut down, it wasn't entirely clear what was going to happen to that content, and it would have been a shame if it had just disappeared into the ether. So Roku have picked up all the Quibi stuff. They're going to be putting it out onto the Roku channel, which is available on, if you've got any form of Roku box, so a set-top box or a stick, it will be on there. The Roku channel is also on Now TV and Sky Q as well. It's one of the apps on Now TV and Sky Q, so it's going to be free with ads. So you'll be able to go and watch these things on the Roku channel. I don't know when they're going to get added, but they will be coming fairly soon onto the Roku channel. So you'll be able to go and pick up all these shows on there. And they are well worth watching. So there are things like The Fugitive. There was Most Dangerous Game, which was a really good series. So there's lots of things on there that are well worth going on and picking up. So go and check out the Quibi content when it lands on Roku. We'll keep an eye out for that. It's a Sin, which is the new Russell T. Davis drama that has got an air date. That's coming to Channel 4 on the 22nd of January. I have seen the first episode of this. This is a 5-part drama which is set in the 80s. It's the story of the sort of the arrival of the HIV and AIDS pandemic, and follows this group of young friends through this sort of decade of where things started to change. It stars Ollie Alexander from Years and Years the Band, Lydia West from Years and Years the TV series. You've got Neil Patrick Harris in there, Keeley Hawes, Sean Dooley, Stephen Fry, Tracy Ann Oberman as well, and a bunch of other great young talent. I've seen the opening episode for it. It is possibly the best thing that Russell T. Davies has ever written. It's got some very dark elements to it, but that same wonderful light humour and sort of turns on a penny to something horribly tragic, and it's just brilliantly put together. I can't go into too many specifics about it because, you know, I don't want to give away spoilers for any of it before it comes out, but I would urge you to go and watch it. It's called It's a Sin. It's Friday the 22nd of January at 9 p.m. on Channel 4. It's going to be 5 episodes, and it's absolutely spectacular. Really, really worth going to watch. Interesting subject matter, and particularly for people of my age that I'm not a gay man but lived through this period of time, and it's quite fascinating to see it written by somebody who did live through all this. Really, really solid drama. If you like Russell T. Davis, it's going to be well worth going to watch. See, there's something that's not got spaceships in it that you definitely should be watching.
Yes, I will have to add it to the list.
Yes. Back, which is the Mitchell and Webb sitcom, finally returns. I think the first episode of this went out, I think it was in 2018. They released the first episode of the first season of this. Season 2 of Back, the Mitchell and Webb series, returns on the 31st of January. That's at 10 p.m. on Channel 4. Taking a while to get that back on air, but it is back now. And Will and Grace season 10, which is the second season of the revival series, that is airing for the first time in the UK. That's Thursday the 21st of January at 8 p.m. on Comedy Central UK. Starts with a double bill. So if you're a fan of Will and Grace, that's the first time you can see that in the UK. And Resident Alien, which is a new series coming to Sky One on the 28th of January, stars Alan Tudyk. He's an alien that has crash landed on Earth, who takes on the identity of a small town doctor to somehow find a way to fit into the local human population. While discovering what it means to be human, he'll begin to question whether humanity is worth saving as he grapples with the morality of his secret mission on Earth. It looks really funny. I would watch Alan Tudyk paint walls, so I will definitely be down for watching that. Got aliens in it, even if the only spaceship in it is a crashed one, so, you know, well worth watching. And also announced over the Christmas period, Sky have picked up the Katie Couleuf series, The Flight Attendant, which is going to be premiering airing this year at some point in the UK. Don't know which channel, but it will be somewhere on Sky. They have picked it up, so that we want to look out for. Moving on to some bigger news stories, Clancy Brown has joined the Dexter revival series, which is due to land at some point in the autumn. That's the current plan. So back in October last year, they announced that Michael C. Hall is returning as Dexter, everybody's favourite serial killer, in a new 10-episode limited series. They've now announced that Clancy Brown will play the show's villain called Kurt Caldwell. Caldwell was born and raised in the town of Iron Lake. In fact, some consider him the unofficial mayor of the small town. He's realised the American dream by going from driving big rigs, just like his father did, to owning several trucks and a local truck stop. Powerful, generous, loved by everyone. He's the true man of the people. If he's got your back, consider yourself blessed. But should you cross Kurt or hurt anybody that he cares for, God help you. That's the setup for him. Clancy Brown, of course, you'll know from things like Highlander. He was in The Shawshank Redemption, Starship Troopers, School of Goldbergs, Sleepy Hollow, Billions he's been in most recently, and Emergence as well, the short-lived sci-fi series. And he's done voices for, like, does the voice for Mr. Crab on SpongeBob SquarePants, and he's done voices for Star Wars Rebels and various animated Marvel series as well. He's definitely a face that you will know and an actor that you'll recognise. Are you excited for a Dexter revival series?
I don't know, off the top of my head.
Did you watch any of the original Dexter? I don't know.
I did watch some, but I didn't watch all of it.
Right.
I think I would have needed to have watched all of it before I would do that. I remember Dexter was just on really late at night and gave me nightmares. So I only watched sort of half of a season.
Right.
And then just kind of left it alone at that point, really. Again, lack of spaceships. So, yeah, I don't know where the original series went. Therefore, whether or not a revival series is something that is going to be appropriate and develop the story on, or what it will do, because I literally watched half of the first season.
Right. Okay. Well, this is the thing. The revival series, there was 8 seasons originally of the original show. And I mean, Dexter, if you don't remember the original series, Dexter was this blood splatter expert that worked for the Miami Police Department, but also happened to be a serial killer. But he was a serial killer that followed this bunch of rules, in that the people that he killed usually had it coming in some way. He was kind of killing people that had maybe slipped through the police's net. So that was the sort of setup for the idea of it. Now, the final season, I am going to spoil things slightly if you've not watched the final season, but it ends with Dexter faking his own death and he's working as a lumberjack. He's where we kind of leave him. And it wasn't hugely satisfactory the way it ended. And there was actually an interview with Michael C. Hall, who said that he wasn't happy with the ending either. Let's be real, people found the way that the show left things pretty unsatisfying, and there's always been hope that the story would emerge that'd be worth telling, he commented in an interview with the Daily Beast. I include myself in that group of people that wondered what the hell happened to that guy, so I'm excited to step back into it. I've never had that experience of playing a character this many years later. So we don't know an awful lot about what this new series is going to be, other than it is going to follow Dexter, and there will have been a fairly substantial time jump, so we'll have to see. But I really enjoyed the original series, and I would have to agree that I think it needed a better ending. It deserved a better ending, because it had been brilliant up until that point. Somewhat like Game of Thrones, you know? Be brilliant up until that final season, and it was just how they rounded it off just didn't work. So I'm quite happy they're bringing this back. I was quite a fan of the original show.
Maybe I should go back. Now we've got everything on streaming services and I don't have to watch it just before I go to bed. Maybe I should reinvestigate the first run of the series, because I did, you know, the problem with it is that it was actually quite scary in the way it was filmed. It was a lot of things happening just off camera in a way that, you know, allowed your brain to fill in the details, and then you went straight to sleep and your brain filled in the rest of the details.
Right, yeah.
So I did not watch it because it was bad. I didn't watch it because it made my sleep bad, which is probably a sign of good writing in the case of what they were trying to achieve.
Yes, I think that's probably true. Moving on to broadcasting of a very different kind, Elijah O'Brien has joined the cast of Legends of Tomorrow for the 6th season. So this is going prepared to be a new character. Lyra O'Brien, you may know from Rookie Blue, was probably the biggest thing she's been in. She was also in Take Two, which I think ran on Fox quite recently in the UK. That was a fairly short-lived series. She's popped up in things like Supernatural and Bates Motel and Ascension and Continuum as well. She's playing a character called Kayla, who is a fearsome warrior with a high body count and low patience for human incompetence. She'll be put through her paces by working with and against the legends, as she's certainly not used to messing anything up, messing things up for the better. This sounds like it's going to be one of these sort of characters that they meet as an enemy and then kind of ends up joining them. I still love Legends. It's a very silly show. The characters are great. I would like to see them suit up a bit more, but I like the fact that it fourth wall breaking bits, and you know, there's almost them talking direct to camera in places. Out of all of those Arrowverse shows, I like the fact it embraces the stupidity of it, and the fact that when the crossover episodes happen, half of them don't turn up, and when they find out that Sarah's got roped into a crossover, they're like, oh, she didn't get roped into a crossover, did she? You know, I like the fact that they make jokes about things like that. It's good fun.
Very self-aware series, yes. Which I think is one of the reasons why everyone has so much love for it. I'm not sure who this new character is, especially if they're just giving us a first name. I'm wondering if this is either only very, very loosely based on a comic book character, or if this is just a complete invention of their own.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't see any kind of connection to anything that's in existing DC as far as I could tell. So
yeah, well, there are plenty of characters with that name, but the name and the description isn't ringing any bells for me either. If anyone knows or figures out who this character is based on, let us know, because I would be interested. But yeah, it could be just someone that they have invented and made the character ground up.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people returning, obviously. Sarah, you've got Mick is back in there, Nate, Constantine, Zari, Ara, Ari, Astra and Barad are all back on the ship. They have got another new character joining who's called Esperanza Spooner Cruz, who I think is a new character in the comic books as well, if I remember correctly, played by Lithes Chavez from Chicago PD, who's playing that character. So that will be another new character that's joining the show as well. We don't know much about the new series other than it will involve aliens. They're dealing with space and aliens in this, so this should be very much up your street. So, because the last season ended with Sarah getting mysteriously zapped away by something, and it turns out that that is a ruthless alien, so they kind of got to club together to try and rescue her. So having spent the last season sort of dealing with hell, they're now dealing with aliens, which whatever they want to do with the show, I'm all down for it. I'm very happy to kind of sit and watch this. We don't know exactly when Legends is returning, because it hasn't got an air date in the UK or the US at the moment. We know it will be behind a lot of the other Arrowverse shows. So Batwoman is kicking things off in the US on the 17th of January. Black Lightning, the final season of that, starts on the 8th of February. Then The Flash season 7 and Superman and Lois on February 23rd. Third, final sixth season of Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow's sixth season. Those will be sometime after 23rd of February, so they'll probably be March sometime, I would suspect. We don't have UK air dates for anything right now. Those are the US air dates, so we'll have to wait and see. I do wonder whether Sky are going to wait until sort of Marchish so they can cluster some of the shows together a little bit, but they've certainly not shown up in any of the preview things for January, February that we've seen so far, so we'll let you know when we know those. As for Black Lightning, that will end up on Netflix after it's aired in the US, because they drop it as a box set now, and Batwoman season 2 may or may not come to E4 depending how drunk the schedulers are at the time and where the darts land, so we'll have to wait and see for that, but we will let you know when we hear something on those. And lastly, Loki writer Michael Waldron has apparently been tapped to pen a Star Wars movie, which is going to be exec produced by Kevin Feige. This was interesting, because this was something that wasn't announced when Disney did all those announcements before we stopped for Christmas. This movie wasn't something that was in that list. According to the reports, Mike Waldron, who is the creator of the Loki series, has signed an overall deal, which we'll see him write a Star Wars movie as well. He's fairly busy at the moment. He's not necessarily a name that you might have been aware of, because he also wrote Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which of course is the movie that's coming in 2022, the Loki series. He's going to be writing the Star Wars movie. He's also the writer of Heels, which is the new wrestling drama thing for Stars, which stars Stephen Amell and Alexander Ludwig as these two brothers that are kind of warring over their family's small town pro wrestling business. He's one of those writers that sort of over the last year or so seems to have really suddenly made a name for himself. We don't know anything about the Star Wars movie other than wasn't in the Investors Day live stream when we announced all that stuff. So it seems to be an additional thing to that. The only movies they announced at the Investors Day was Rogue Squadron, which is from Wonder Woman's Patty Jenkins, and an untitled Star Wars movie from Takeda Waititi. So this will be in addition to those two. A lot of that stuff went up to 2023, so it may be that this is coming after that. So maybe it's somewhere way off in the future, but yeah. We don't know, but I don't know. I mean, like the idea of another Star Wars movie with Kevin Feige in charge?
Well, having not seen anything else he's penned yet, I can't make too many assumptions onto the quality of what he's done. But the trailers for the things he's written look very, very good. And clearly Disney has a lot of faith in his abilities if they're giving him such a contract that includes getting his hands on even more of their top properties.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see some more stuff in that universe. And I think that you can't really go too far wrong if you're got Disney's attention to that degree.
Well, that was my sort of thinking was, I mean, it bodes well for the Loki series and for Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness as well, given that after seeing whatever they've shot so far for those, they've now handed him a Star Wars movie. That bodes well, I think, for those series.
Yeah, you have to assume with what happened with some of the recent Star Wars things that they are being very, very selective with
yes.
who's writing those. Now they have given the writers and people slightly too much freedom with some of the movies recently and saw all the kind of fan backlash and issues that came with that. So one would assume that they've vetted his work very, very closely in order to give him the ability to take on that license and make something for it. So yeah, I guess it's a wait and see moment, but I'm certainly looking forward to the other things he's worked on. So hopefully what we've got here is a talent that's going to point some of these things back in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm also quite looking forward to the Heels drama as well, because it just seems to fit so well for Stephen Amell, who's a massive, massive wrestling fan, and then he lands this wrestling drama. That's coming to Stars Play in the UK. They've already announced that when it does land, Heels will air on Stars Play in the UK. It'll be on Stars in the US. So if you're a fan of Stephen Amell or Alexander Ludwig, who I think was one of the Vikings guys, then that's definitely something that's going to be worth looking out for. Prior to doing this, the main thing he wrote on was Rick and Morty. So that's sort of an interesting sort of leap from one thing to another. In terms of the MCU TV series, obviously WandaVision is the thing that's coming Friday, actually. I think that lands. So that's the first thing that's going to kick thing off. Then Falcon Winter Soldier, that has a date as well. That's the 19th of March. Then Loki comes in May. And Heels, as we said, that's expected to land later on in 2021. And he's confirmed is airing on Stars Play in the UK, Stars in the US. So that's the other thing to watch out for. So yeah, the TV shows, I mean, it sounds like they're pretty much running them back to back, because it looks like WandaVision is going to run into Falcon Winter Soldier, which will probably run into Loki. So that's all good as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, people definitely getting their money's worth from their subscriptions there. I always thought it was interesting that they were making WandaVision the one to kick everything off rather than going with one of the larger, more established characters, but WandaVision looks so good that it's making me want to get a Disney Plus membership early.
Yes.
And I didn't like Scarlet Witch at all in the way she was presented in the MCU, and I've never much cared for Vision as a character, and it's one of the shows I'm most excited for. So if they can make two characters I don't care about, one of which I really, really didn't like in the MCU, into a series that I'm considering paying spending money to watch on a subscription I don't have currently. I think that shows that they know what they're doing here.
Yeah, I would definitely say so. And of course, the other thing is these are going to be pretty well entwined with the Marvel movies as well, because Wonder is going to show up in the Multiverse of Madness, the Doctor Strange movie next year. So they are weaving these in and out of the films as well. Yeah, there are various characters which will be jumping from one to the other. So it is going to be very much still part of the MCU and still an integrated universe. If you're a Marvel fan and you're going to be following the movies, you're probably going to need a Disney Plus subscription. So that's all the news we've got for this week. Now, just got time for some highlights for next week on TV. Highlights for next week. First one we have is Briar Patch, which is coming to Alibi on the 13th of January at 9 p.m. I have seen a few episodes of this because I caught it a little bit when I was in the US. It's really, really good. It's from Mr. Robot Sam Ishmael, so it's wonderfully strange and weird. It's kind of a detective drama thing about a woman, starring Rosario Dawson, about a woman that goes back to her hometown where her sister was murdered and is sort of looking into what happened. It was cancelled after one season, but it's an anthology series, so the entire first season is self-contained, so it is basically a mini series. It is worth watching. I would go and see it. It's on Alibi. It's called Briar Patch, 13th of January at 9 p.m. RuPaul's Drag Race UK, that returns on the 14th of January at 7 p.m. on BBC3. Pandora, second season of that comes to Sci-Fi UK on the 14th of January at 9 p.m. That's a sci-fi series about a young woman who lost everything but finds a new life at Earth Space Training Academy. That's got spaceships in it. That's one for you. The Simpsons returns for season 32. That's on the 15th of January at 8 p.m. Last Leg is back for its 21st season. That's on the 15th of January at 10 p.m. on Channel 4. Disenchantment Part 3, that is starting on Netflix on the 15th of January. So that will be, there's a lot of love out there for that series. We saw a surprising number of cosplays for that in the back when we could go and do such things. It seems to have gone down very well, Disenchantment. Servant, which is the M. Night Shyamalan Apple TV Plus series, that's season 2 of that, starts on the 15th of January over on Apple TV Plus. WandaVision, as we mentioned, that starts on the 15th of January on Disney Plus as well. Murdoch Mysteries season 14 of that on Alibi on the 18th of January at 8 p.m. And AP Bio season 3 of that comes to Comedy Central on the 18th of January at 9 p.m. That is everything we have for this week, unless you've got anything that you want to mention, such as where people can find you.
You can find me as Trista Bytes, spelled B-Y-T-E-S, because I thought I was being funny with a pun, over on YouTube and Twitch. You can also find me on all the standard social medias as Trista Bytes as well, just generally talking about various geek nonsense, nostalgia, and messing about on the internet, trying to give people a little place that they can just go and hang out with a nice welcoming community and talk about all things geek.
Yes, so go and check that out over there. It's very, very funny. You can also go to find Matt over on entertainmenttalk.org, where he's got lots and lots of podcasts over there, including a podcast about you, I noticed, this week.
Yes, I wasn't expecting that one. That kind of came out of nowhere.
Yes, no, he's doing a month-long series of people that put out like positive content, and he picked you as being the first person he did for that. So well chosen, I thought, but he'll be doing more of those.
It was a lovely surprise.
Yes, go and check out Matt over on Entertainment Talk. There's lots and lots of podcasts going out on there. And of course, for us, you can go to geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. leave a message on the website post, find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.